It's great to be here today and glad to see everybody here. Praise God for your presence. It's an honor for me to be here this day, and I'm looking forward to this week's work. I'm hoping and praying that I can do some good while I'm here. I'm from a place called Bocatilla, Mississippi, which is kind of halfway between Jackson and New Orleans on Interstate 55. So you now know where I live. Come see me anytime you have an opportunity. If I could get this side here to show up, we'd have a full house. If I got this side to show up, we'd have a full house. You know, we'd be putting people on the outside pretty soon. We're so thankful you came. And I hope that the sermon this morning be one that helps you. Most of the churches I go to are small, and so I kind of bring lessons for those kind of things, and it's probably good for everybody. We don't talk this morning about the two greatest commandments. Pretty simple thing. The greatest commandments are, and you probably know them too, by word, and you probably have them memorized. But Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." I noticed it didn't come up. There. Welcome. Now we're doing better. Now we got it going. Thank you, Dan. Sometimes I need to be corrected. It seems that I get older, I have more problems like that. I'm glad I'm still climbing them steps, I'm telling you. That's really a good deal for me. Now if I fall off of there, just laugh, and I get up and get back up here. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." That says an awful lot. Do you think about what that says? And this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Frankly, if you get the first one right, the second one will be there. But we want to talk about that. Van and I talked about what love meant. We're going to talk about putting it in action today, I think. In Luke 7 and 47, "Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but whom little is given, forgiven, the same loveth little, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven." I wondered about this scripture. You know, the person who loves a lot had a lot forgiven. So maybe that's the reason we have problems with people not coming to church very often. They don't love very much. Maybe that's the reason, you know, they feel like I didn't have a lot of sin forgiven me, so they don't have a lot of love for the Lord and don't appreciate a great deal what he's done for them. I met a man visiting, knocking doors one day and trying to talk to him about the Lord, and he said, "I haven't committed enough sin that I need to be baptized." Boy, did he not understand. I said, "You don't know what you're talking about. I know you've lied. You're a sinner." And we need to realize, and sometimes people don't love the Lord and don't appreciate what he's done because they don't see what he's done. They don't realize the magnitude of their sins. Do you really love the Lord? You go out on the streets at Plainview, and I'd say just about everybody, you just talk to a stranger. "You love the Lord?" "I love the Lord with all my heart." "Do you?" A lot of people say that. A lot of people who come to church now and then say, "I love the Lord with all my heart." Do you really? What does that love mean to you? How does that come about in your life? You love him with all your heart. Well, let's think about it. You ever loved anybody with all your heart? All us married guys are going to say, "Yeah, we love him with all our heart." You know, we better say that or we get a hickey on the head, right? And she's going to say, "I love you with all my heart." And what does that mean, that I love you with all my heart? Well, I think about when my wife, when we started dating, I fell in love with all my heart. I couldn't talk to her enough. I was calling her every night. I was writing when I couldn't call. I was writing her every night. I was writing her letters every day. And when I went home, I didn't stay with my family. I went to see her. I mean, I was going to college, and whenever I got home, in the car and over the hill, I went. And I was there at the time to come back to college. We're together all the times that we can. You ever see these guys and these girls? They go crazy. They're texting all the time. They're calling all the time. You have to monitor them. They open at 1 o'clock at night in their room. What are they doing? You know, when they fall in love, they're being in contact with the person they love. They can't get too much contact. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another provoking to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Are we like that? If you love the Lord with all your heart, you want to be with him at every opportunity. Just like you did with your mate when you started. You know, sometimes we like that, and then later on we don't want to be with them at all. We go outside to work something in the shop so we don't have to be in the house with them. At least that's what my wife accused me of. But you know, I still love her with all my heart. And I want to be with her as much as I can. Maybe not every minute and every second. But if you love the Lord with all your heart, you want to be at every assembly that he's at. He calls for a meeting and he says, promises us he'll be with us. We want to be there if you love him with all your heart. And we'll exhort one another to be there also. How do you show that love for him with all your heart? You're at the meetings. You want to be with him. When they're singing praises to him, you want to sing praises to him. When they're praying to him, you want to have prayer to him. Love the Lord with all your heart. I hope you can see that. I don't know if you can. Many people today, they love what they want to have. They love themselves. They love the preachers to preach what they want to hear. And the people that are teaching, you know, what people want to hear, there'd be big crowds. People that are preaching what God says, not so. Not so many. If you love him with all your heart, you'll be talking to him. You'll be praying without ceasing. I'm away from home. I still love my wife with all my heart. And I talk to her on the phone. I text her as much as I can. We talk back and forth continually. And we ought to be that way with God. You ought to be talking to God continually, praying without ceasing. Our prayers are like conversation with God. Riding down the road, you have something to pray about. You have something to think about, to praise God about. When you're sitting alone out and nobody's around but you, you have prayers to be made. And there's always time to pray. Do you pray to God often? Do you pray to him continually? If you love him with all your heart, you'll be trying to communicate to him. Tell him about the situations in your life. You know, I had troubles on the way over here. I called my wife, telling her I got these troubles. God wants to hear from you and know about your troubles. He loves you, and he wants you to love him with all your heart. 1 Timothy 2:8. "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." He wants us to pray without anger in our hearts and without doubting that he's going to hear our prayers. Sometimes we get all bitter. The wrath of man is not pleasing to God. And our anger that we have is not going to be pleasing to God. And so we need to get rid of the anger we have and just lift up to him our prayers. John 14:15. "If you love me, you keep my commandments." That's part of loving him with all your heart. I want to do everything I can to please my wife. It's not a matter necessarily keeping her sayings or her commandments, but she tells me what she wants, and I try to do what she wants. If she wants me to plant flowers, I try to plant some flowers. She wants me to plant a garden, I go work on a garden. You know, I try to do things that please her, and that's kind of like keeping God's commandments. We love Him with all our heart. We're going to do the things that please Him. We're going to be pleasing to Him. His commandments are not going to be grievous. His commandments are not going to be hard. It's going to be something we want to do because we want to please the Lord. I may not always do everything she told me to do, but it wasn't because I didn't want to. John 15 and 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. We want to stay in the love of God. How do we do that? Keep His commandments. Do the things He wants us to do. Be pleasing to Him. We're pleasing to Him. We keep His love toward us, and we keep our love toward Him. And we abide in the Father's love also. All His commandments with all our heart. There's some commandments we have no trouble keeping. We like them. But there's some of them kind of difficult. But you know, we want to do all of His commandments, not just the ones that we like. Keep all of His commandments that we understand, the best of our ability of understanding, with all our heart. Because we love Him with all our heart. First Corinthians 11 and 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till I come. Do you do that? Every time the meeting is called, commune with Him. You know, it's not a matter of being perfect to where you deserve it. None of us deserve the death of Christ on the cross for our sins. He's told us to do that in remembrance of Him. That's a way we show our love for Him. If you had a date set for you to be wife or to be husband, Would you stand them up, let them go sit down to meal, and you wouldn't be there? Would they like that? Would you like to be done that way? You know, not even tell them, you're not going to show, just go off, and they'd be sitting there waiting for you, and you never come. That's what we do to the Lord when it's time to have communion, to remember Him, and we don't show. We don't come. And yet we say, I love the Lord with all my heart. You do? Why are you out there fishing while they're having communion? Why are you walking down the streets or playing golf or whatever? And it's time to remember our Lord. Sacrifice He made for us. You see, we fool ourselves. We say we love the Lord, but we really don't love Him with all our heart. If we really loved Him with all our heart, we would be there. We'd be there. If we had to crawl, we'd probably be there. If we loved Him with all our heart. I knew several older brethren when it got to where they couldn't come to church, sat down and cried because they couldn't commune. Couldn't come to the communion. They loved the Lord, and their heart's desire was to be there. But their broken bodies, they couldn't. Do you love Him that much? That it hurts you deeply when you can't? Or is your love for the Lord the kind that, somebody came in today, I can't go. My mother showed up, then she don't believe in that, so I'm not going. I know there's times that you can't. You physically can't. How flat tar, had a car wreck. You know, you got a broke leg. A broke leg probably wouldn't keep you from being there. I've known some ladies that walk in on crutches. They hardly get there, but they want to commune with Christ. They love Him. They want to be there with the depths of their heart. We have two people that come to church with us that roll in on a wheelchair. And one of them has to get somebody who is not a member to bring them. But they love the Lord and they want to be there. Do you want to be there that bad? That if you had to be carried, you'd let someone carry you to church. We say we love Him with all our heart. Do we really? 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. I love to go to church. I love to be in the assembly. I love singing praises to God. I love taking communion. I love to do those things that He's called us to do when we come together. I also love helping my fellow man. I love doing the things that are pleasing to Him. If it's pleasing to Him, I want to do it. And it's not a burden to do it. I want to do it. I want to do the things that's pleasing to God. And it's not just out of duty. I was going to stay with a man one time, and he said, well, it's my duty to keep you. I don't want to stay there because it's your duty. I want to stay there because you love me and you want me to be there. His commandments are not grievous. We're glad to keep His commandments. But whoso keepeth this word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. You wonder sometimes, I know I used to, I've had those wonders. Am I really a Christian? Am I really saved? Am I really in Christ? Well, you know, if you look and examine your life, you know. You keep His word. And it's not a burden to you. And so we know that we're in Him. Love God with all your heart. Could you say that you do that today? 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So many times we get confused. We love the world, and we say we love the Lord, but you know we put more stock in the things of the world. We want to go with the friends of the world to have those fun trips, those fun times, rather than be with God. Some people say they take a vacation from God. I don't know how they could do that. The next thing was all your soul. How do you love God with your soul? I want you to think about that. This took me a little bit of thinking, a little bit of stretching my thoughts. How am I going to love God with all my soul? And I thought about the soul like it's all your being. Well, it's not really all your being if you think about it the way the Bible describes it. You know, we have a spirit, and we have a soul, and we have a body. Our soul is what's saved. Our soul is what receives salvation. If you love the Lord with all your soul, you secure that soul and see to it that it's saved. I bumped something I shouldn't have. Okay, Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul, both soul and body in hell. You see, we will secure that soul if we love the Lord with all our soul. Mark 8 and 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall, and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall a man be profit, gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man gain in exchange for his soul? He's showing us the value of that soul. That soul is the most important thing you have. God gave you a soul when you come into existence. That soul lives forever, either in heaven with God or in hell with the devil. And that soul, if you love the Lord, with all your soul, you'll secure that soul in Christ. You do those things which are needful to secure that soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 1 and 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God. Does your soul magnify God? Do your spirit rejoice in Him? Love Him with all your soul. Romans 2 and 8, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first, and also the Gentiles. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for as there is no respecter of persons with God. If you love Him with all your soul, you will obey the truth. You will obey the truth so you can secure that soul, so that soul will be able to live with Christ forever. Second Thessalonians 1 and 8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will obey that gospel. We will obey that truth. If we love Him with all our soul, we will secure that soul. Romans 1 and 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Have you secured that soul? Is it secure in Christ? If you love Him with all your soul, you will. You will secure that soul in Jesus Christ. And here's how we do it. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not to put in the way the filth of the flesh, but to answer a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we get baptized into Christ. We're securing that soul so it can live with Him forever. If you love Him with all your soul, you'll secure that soul in Him. So you have this hope. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil. Do you have that hope of eternal life? Do you have your soul secured in Jesus Christ? You know, when we get baptized, we put on Christ. Galatians 3:27, for many of us have been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ. You're inside Christ and you're secure in that soul. You keep yourself in love with God and you keep that soul secure. And we have this anchor. It's an anchor to your soul. An anchor is something you put down to keep the ship from wandering off. You have that anchor in Christ, and you start thinking about committing some sins or you're doing things that are wrong, that anchor is pulling you back, telling you, don't do that. Don't get involved in that. You love the Lord. You love your soul. You want it saved. You love Him with all your soul. So you hold on to that anchor. That anchor being our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. The next thing he says, love Him with all your mind. Our mind is a hard thing to control. I guess it's one of the hardest things we have to control. You might get your old body under control with doing things you don't want to do. You say, I don't want to do that, and then you pull it back. But that mind, it's hard to control. thoughts pop into your mind? You know, you think about evil surmising. You surmise things that are evil toward people when they didn't mean any evil. I'm guilty of that. I have to confess, that's a sin I've committed recently. On the way over here, I had a flat tire. I had a flat tire in a city I did not know, with people I didn't know. And they looked strange to me. And I got out of my truck and I looked at that tire, and then there stood a guy with a bandana across his nose looking at me. I thought, man, he put that out there so he can get money off of me for fixing my tire. He ain't fixing my tire. And I was kind of ugly to him. There was two or three others come up there. You know, I don't know if he might have been just trying to help me, a good fellow. I finally figured out later that he was smoking some men out on the side of the road when I hit that thing. But what about us? Our mind, are we bringing it under control? Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is where the real battle is fought, in your mind. This is where the real work is done, is in your mind. You read and you study and you think on the words of God and you put them in your heart and in your mind, and those things war against the fleshly mind, the things that come up. There's a battle there, and you become renewed in your spirit. Your mind changes the kind of person you were, the kind of person you are. You put on a new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness, by changing your mind. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird you up the lines of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can control your mind. Did you know that? God wouldn't have said it if you couldn't. Gird you up your mind. Take control of it. People used to wear a girdle, you know. They were taking control of their bulge. And they pulled it in. They girded it up. That's what this is talking about. Take control of that mind. Gird it in. Pull it in. Don't let it think on things you know it shouldn't think on. You keep thinking about things that you shouldn't think on, pretty soon you're doing those things you were thinking on. Your actions first take place in your mind. And then you finally put those actions, those thoughts into action in your life. So gird up that mind. Don't let it wander looking at a strange person over there, or man or woman. Gird that mind in, pull it in. Because that will destroy you and your family if you go being unfaithful to your spouse. It's so sad. And our country just ate up with it. Adultery is everywhere. And people think nothing about it. They think that if I lusting after this person and I want this person, I might as well go get them. No, it ain't. It's not so. It says if a man looks at a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery already in his heart. Well, you don't have to go through and follow through with it. Gird your mind up and turn that around before you burn. It says in the Old Testament, you cannot go to a strange woman without, it's like heaping coals of fire into your bosom, and you're going to get burned. It's going to burn you. I guess this is on my mind. That's why I'm talking about it so much this morning. Happened to a neighbor of mine recently. Had two young, beautiful boys, smart boys, beautiful wife. He tore all that up for a woman at work. Take control of that mind. God wants you to take control of that mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Cast it down. Put it down. Put it out of your mind. Say, no, mind. Let's not think on those things. and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Bring it under captivity to obey Christ. So, if somebody does you wrong, what you going to do? You going to think, well, I need to get even. No, you need to put that thought down. You need to love him, forgive him, as Christ forgave you. You need to challenge that thought. Every time it pops in your mind, put it out of your mind. As he said, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Having a readiness. Be ready to revenge the disobedience you have. With your obedience, when your obedience is fulfilled, obeying the Lord. See, we can control that mind. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let him deceive you that you can't do anything about it. You can. You put down those thoughts and take up some new thoughts. Think about it in different ways. Look for another avenue. Do you love your neighbors yourself? I said, if you fulfill those others, you'll fulfill this one. He says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. If you want somebody to be good to you, you be good to them. If you think they should help you, then you need to be willing to help people in the same situation you're in that you think needs help. That solves a lot of problems. You wouldn't want somebody to steal from you, so you wouldn't steal from your neighbor, would you? You wouldn't want somebody to take advantage of you because you're feeble-minded in something. You wouldn't want to do that to somebody else either. That's why I don't like car salesmen sometimes. I think they take advantage of you, of what you don't know. I hate buying new cars. Bought one recently. Told the salesman, I hate it. He said, why are you frowning so mad? Why, you look like you're mad. I am. I'm mad. I don't like doing this. Because I know the way it's set up for them to take advantage of you. That's the way it's set up. Just like going to the casino. You go to the casino, realize that thing is set against you. You might win one or two, but it's set against you, and you're going to lose in the long run. I know a lady in the church lost her house. Couldn't make her house payment. And she was telling me she's going to the casino, and this is how I know she lost her house. I said, why are you going over there? They're just going to take your money. She said, no, I'm going to win enough money to make my house payment. I said, no, you ain't going to do that. Well, 4 years out, they sold her house, or they moved out of it. Nobody bought it. It's still sitting empty, by the way. Lost her place. Realize, that's not good for you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 18 and 33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. That's why we don't go to law with brother with brother. That hurts the whole church. But those outside church, I think it's a different matter. He talks about brethren. Forgive everyone his brother's trespasses. You want to be forgiven, we have to have forgiveness. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do you. How did Christ forgive you? Did you come back and repay him all you owed? You couldn't. The guy that commits murder, can he go back and pay that back? No, he can't. He came humbly asking forgiveness and received it. That's how Christ forgave you. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. And we need to be forgiven of other people the same way. Matthew 5 and 44. I like this verse. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do we do that? That's kind of hard to say sometimes. And that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God blesses us all alike. We need to be a blessing to our neighbors all alike. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do you not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so, or sinners so, you might say? Be you therefore perfect, even your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We ain't going to be perfect, right? But we can be a blessing to the good people and to the bad people around us. That's what he's saying. God sends a rain on everybody the same. We can help the guy that's out there against us, and we help those that are with us. I think that's how we be perfect, as he's instructing us here. Do you love your neighbors, yourself? Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. Have the same kind of mind toward each other. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Are you doing that? This is the first and great commandment. That takes care of a lot of things. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah, you wouldn't want somebody playing around with your wife. You wouldn't go play around with your neighbor's wife, would you? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What about your life this morning? Is your soul secure in Jesus Christ? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul? Here's how you get in Christ and secure your soul. First, you got to hear about him. You could never do anything you had not heard it, and you probably all heard the gospel before. I love the gospel. I don't get tired of hearing it. I don't get tired of preaching it. I love it. Even if I've heard it 10,000 times, it's sweet music to my ears. We have to hear it. Isaiah 55:3, incline your ear, come unto me, and hear, and your soul shall live. We have to hear. Matthew 11:15. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hear the good news, hear the gospel, and believe it. John 8:24, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, you shall die in your sins. If you believe not to me, you shall die in your sins. In Luke 13:5, he said, I say unto you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In 2 Peter 3:9, he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but as long-suffered toward us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want a single soul to be lost. He wants us all to come to repentance, to put our love and our trust in him and to follow him. And you know, you could hear, I don't know what you understood. I taught school for 27 years, and I know I told them a lot of stuff went in one ear and out the other. And just because it's a noise in front of you don't mean you heard it. But you have to hear it enough to believe it. And when you have belief, I can't look at you and know how your belief is. I can see you, and I can't tell whether you believe or not or what you do believe in. But if you tell me, I can tell you that's inside of you if you're not lying to me. You say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I believe he is that one that I should believe in and trust. Then I have a basis to go from. But I can't know anything about that until you say. And so Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, confess me before men, I confess you before my Father which art in heaven. Verse 33, deny me before men, I deny you before my Father which art in heaven. Romans 10:10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this confession lets us move on in securing your soul. This confession helps us to understand and to know you're ready to move on to the next part, to put your soul in Christ. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You know, I don't know what you think about it. I think most everybody here believes in that. But if you don't, please talk to me. Don't just go away and say, "You stupid old man." Please talk to me. Acts 22:16. Ananias told Paul, "Why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You know, that's how we get in Christ. That's how we're calling on the name of the Lord. Whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how you call on Him. That's what He says. Be faithful. We've been talking about faithfulness this morning. Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I give you a crown of life. What about in your life today? Do you need to be baptized in Christ? We're here to help you do that. If you need prayers of the brethren, He said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just forgives our sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If you're here today and you need prayer and need to be cleansed, God does a cleansing. This is an opportunity for you. If you're here subject to the gospel in any way, won't you come while we stand and sing?